This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Obsessive-compulsive disorder is one of the better-known psychological diseases out there, thanks in no small part to its frequent depiction on screen. From the TV characters Monk and Girls Hannah to Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets, OCD is often played up for comedic and dramatic purposes. But OCD is a real-life issue affecting more than 2 million American adults, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. Some estimates say almost 500,000 children have it, and more people are being diagnosed each year. To help meet OCD patients' growing needs, Oconomowoc's Rogers Memorial Hospital opened a new expanded residential treatment center last month. Rogers has one of the largest and most comprehensive OCD programs in the world. Clinical director Dr. Brad Riemann, a leading expert in anxiety disorders like OCD, joins me in studio to talk about why such a facility was needed. Dr. Riemann, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be back.
Well, I want to start by having you talk about what obsessive-compulsive disorder really looks like and just how serious of a problem it can be for patients who are suffering from the disorder.
Yeah, obsessive-compulsive disorder actually is the fourth most common psychiatric condition that we have in the United States. So it's very, very common, typically characterized by what are called obsessions, which are these unwanted thoughts, images, or impulses that generate high levels of anxiety. Common examples might be the fear of becoming dirty or contaminated, doubting whether you did something or did something correctly. Did I lock the door? Did I turn off the stove? Compulsions, on the other hand, are some sort of repetitive act. It could be another mental act. It could be another thought or some sort of behavioral act that is done to try to neutralize that bad obsessional thought or try to get rid of the anxiety that it causes or somehow prevent a bad event from occurring. So in response to contamination, you get washing and cleaning. In response to doubting, you will get checking the door, checking to make sure the stove is off and so forth. And there's many, many other examples. Unfortunately, not only is OCD common, but it is also very debilitating. For the most part, it affects really every aspect of someone's life.
I wonder if it's difficult sometimes to really communicate how debilitating OCD can be when we have depictions of it in the media that probably are pretty imprecise. People kind of throw around self-diagnosing, oh, I'm so OCD about that. Eminem is talking about his OCD in a new pop song. Does that make your job harder?
Yeah, that's a great question. It can. I mean, first of all, OCD is a fairly commonly misdiagnosed and misdefined condition. Kind of the public's perception is anybody who thinks about anything a lot must have OCD. Just because you think about something a lot or just because you do something over and over again doesn't necessarily mean you have OCD. Obsessions, again, are these unwanted anxiety-producing thoughts. So one of the common ways that it can be misdiagnosed or misdefined is, say, someone will get a call saying, oh, my son has OCD. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What type of problems does he have? He can't stop playing video games. Now, here's a person who's thinking about video games a lot, playing them maybe 10, 12 hours a day, which is a problem, no doubt, but it's almost the opposite problem. When you ask Johnny, do you like to think about playing video games? Oh, yes, love it. Oh, you know, that's my favorite thing in the world. Do you like playing them? Yep. The only time I get anxious is if my parents tell me not to do it. Whereas if you talk to somebody with OCD about their obsessional thoughts, their fears of contamination or doubt, these are very unwanted thoughts. They're very anxiety-producing thoughts. They would really like to get rid of them. If you ask somebody, do you like or enjoy washing or checking or praying or counting over and over again, they would say no, and what can you do to help me stop? So, you know, the term obsession in particular is something that's just kind of morphed into something that, from a psychiatric standpoint, it truly is not. And certainly, you know, people who may think about kind of the classic things about, well, I like to be cleanly or I like to be orderly. You know, those people, of course, are going to rarely kind of seek treatment. But overall, the public awareness of OCD, though, is so much greater than it was 20 years ago. And in a way, some of those misperceptions, I think, helps increase some awareness. But we better make sure of our diagnosis before we start treating, that's for sure.
Now, Rogers already had one of the largest and most comprehensive programs to treat OCD in-house. Why open this brand new facility?
Yeah, it's a great question. Need. I mean, that's the simple answer to it. As we mentioned before, obsessive compulsive disorder is a very common problem. Unfortunately, there are not very many centers of excellence set up to treat it. It's one of these things where if treated properly in the vast majority of cases, it can be treated quite effectively, but there aren't many places set up to do that. This particular center, we just had exceeded the space that we had, the capacity that we had, and we were very, very fortunate that this property just came up very near where we already were. In addition to kind of expanding the amount of space, we were also able to kind of go in and completely redo it to just really meet our residents and our patients' needs. So it is really set up specifically to help us treat this condition.
This is the third expansion of the program since it was opened in 1999. Why do you think the need is growing so much? Is it because that public awareness is growing and maybe more people feel more comfortable coming forward to be treated for it? What's going on?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I don't think there's necessarily any reason to believe that there are more people with OCD now than there was 20 years ago, but there's clearly a greater public awareness. You know, there have been several television shows focusing in on characters with OCD and even reality shows, and these things have increased awareness. People with OCD are very embarrassed by their symptoms typically. And I think some of these programs may have helped them to kind of step forward and say, hey, look, you know, I think I have this problem, and they kind of reach out for help. So I think it's really just more of an issue of awareness and willingness to come into treatment, knowing that there is effective care.
Now, this facility will be able to treat 28 patients in-house. Why is it so important to have that residential treatment versus just having someone come in for appointments?
Yeah, the residential level of care is really meant for the most severe and complicated cases. Thankfully, the vast majority of people with OCD do not warrant this level of care, but perhaps as many as 10% of people with OCD do. These are individuals whose lives have basically stopped. They are being plagued by so many obsessions and compulsions that they're not able to function in school or at work or in their relationships, and really just need assistance 24 hours a day to function. They may need assistance eating. They may need assistance getting dressed, and just that support, and whether it's medical support, whether it's psychiatric support. And so it's really for the profoundly disabled cases. Typically, the vast majority of people can get by with lower levels of care.
Does Rogers also provide that at a different level?
Yeah, we provide treatment at the intensive outpatient level, which is really kind of set up for the vast majority of people with OCD. Kind of moderate up to severe cases are treated in the intensive outpatient. We also have what's called day treatment, where people really spend the entire day with us, but then they return home at night. This is really meant for kind of severe cases. And then the residential, where these people need, again, this assistance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, are really set up for kind of the extreme cases. So we have really all of the levels of care covered, and really all of the different ages. So we provide the same levels of care for children and adolescents as well as adults.
That's shocking to hear. You often think about OCD as something manifesting in adults. You don't often hear about it in children.
Yeah, it's unfortunately very common in kids. It's not quite known exactly how common, but probably 1% of children will be dealing with OCD. It seems that there's kind of almost two common ages of onset for the condition. One is somewhere around 8, 9, 10 years of age, and then things for the, at least on average, kind of tend to mellow out. And then again around 20 or so is another kind of area of common onset. It really can hit people pretty much at any age, but unfortunately, kids are not immune to this.
How do you help these patients, especially with something that seems like it's taking over your life?
Yeah. The really good news is OCD is a very treatable condition when treated properly. The window of effectiveness of that treatment, however, is pretty small. But if you get in that, very good things are going to happen. Even if you're just a little outside of that window, things tend to stall pretty quickly. But the treatment of choice for OCD is something called exposure and ritual prevention. We had mentioned OCD really has kind of two parts, the obsessions and the compulsions. And as a result, the treatment really has two parts as well. Exposure targets the obsessional thoughts. Ritual prevention obviously targets those rituals or compulsions. And in a nutshell, what exposure and ritual prevention is a a series of very individualized exposure assignments where we are going to be asking someone kind of in a very gradual, repetitive fashion to kind of reintroduce themselves into their feared situations and then not do their typical normal ritual, whether it's a mental compulsion or a behavioral compulsion, following that. So for an example, we talked about contamination before. People with the fear of becoming dirty or contaminated commonly won't be able to touch things in their normal daily environment. So maybe they avoid touching doorknobs. And if they do touch a doorknob, commonly they'll have to go wash. So the obsession is this fear of becoming contaminated, say, by the HIV virus. And the ritual would normally be washing and scrubbing of the hands, sanitizing the hands, whatever it may be. In an exposure and ritual prevention model, we would ask someone to begin to touch doorknobs and not wash their hands. Now, obviously, that is far, far easier said than done. And there is a real kind of method to the madness, if you will, as to how you kind of lead up to that point. Bottom line is again, sticking with our doorknob example, there are doorknobs that are far harder for someone to come in contact with and not wash their hands than others. We would start with these perceived easier doorknobs. An example might be their bedroom doorknob versus their little brother's bedroom doorknob, which they think is dirtier because he's always wiping at his nose or something like that, versus, of course, a bathroom doorknob versus something that would be out in public. So there's all these different steps. There might be 10 different doorknob exercises, for example, getting to the point finally of being able to use really any doorknob like anyone else would.
The message you're giving is this is treatable. This is something that doesn't have to run your life.
Correct. As we said, it's a very common problem, a very debilitating problem, but also a very treatable problem. The biggest concern for someone with OCD is just really trying to find somebody who knows how to do this. And unfortunately, that is the number one disadvantage of this type of treatment, just trying to find providers who are trained and experienced in doing this. Believe it or not, we probably have anywhere from 85 to 90 people with OCD on our campus from the ages of 8 to 80 today, from all over the place, and that is because of a lack of providers. And one of the things that myself and some of my professional colleagues have really tried to do over the last 10 to 20 years is expand that, try to do a lot of trainings. We'll be going to Tampa, Florida here in a couple of weeks and doing a training for professionals, licensed professionals in the state of Florida, because there's no reason to be competitive about this. There is way too much suffering going on and too few providers.
You mentioned before that you've taken that accumulated experience and knowledge and treatment know-how and used that to inform how you designed this facility.
Yes. We mentioned before that people with OCD are embarrassed by their symptoms, and as a result, they can also be embarrassed by their treatment. Meaning, if you're going to have people going around and touching these certain things or doing certain things, they do like privacy. And in the design of the Cedar Ridge facility, there are far more what we kind of call breakout offices for people to kind of go in and do this work with clinicians, but in private, which is important for them. We want to make sure that we respect their dignity and try to do this in the most humane way possible, and that is in part by giving them their own space to get this work done.
And now you have it.
And now we have it, and we're thrilled.
Well, Dr. Brad Riemann, thank you so much again for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Brad Riemann is the clinical director of the OCD Center at Rogers Memorial Hospital, based in Oconomowoc. Its new residential treatment facility in Summit for OCD patients opened last month. A quick break now, and in just a moment, how nurse-managed clinics can help bring healthcare to some of Milwaukee's neediest communities. That's next on Lake Effect from WUWM.